The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. We know that we live in sad times, in strange times, in weird times, when a statement like this is labeled as a radical statement. And yet, it has been recently, as in yesterday recently, said to me that this is a radical affirmation. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. I try to make my social media presence very uplifting, very positive, very educational, very supportive. There's so much toxicity out there on the internet, and especially in social media, it's best to try to steer away from it. And so I try to bring a positive approach to my presence on social media. But on Twitter, I don't know what it's actually supposed to be called anymore, Xer, Zeter, or whatever it is. On Twitter, I will get into, well, sometimes somewhat heated conversations. Most recently, I have been slapped around a bit for being someone who is a Christian, who is also a minister, who is also gay, who is also married. Some, a lot actually, of so-called Christians, of people who claim to be Christians, just don't get how any of that can be possible. As you can imagine, the name-calling, the finger-pointing, the judgmental pronouncements, the condemnations to hellfire and damnation, they just fly all over the place. It can get thick sometimes. And one of the things that really gets some of these people going and can really whip them up into a near frenzy of hair-pulling agitation is to quote Jesus about loving another. Quote Jesus about forgiveness. Quote Jesus about grace, about acceptance, about welcoming all into the family of God. You can pile on a collection of judgments and condemnations, and these evangelical conservative fundamentalists, they'll click that love button every single time, and they'll post too. But mention Jesus' commandment that we love one another, and wham, they'll attack. And to say that Jesus calls us to love God and to love neighbor and that that fulfills the whole law and be gay while doing it, oh my God. Somebody said that they were praying for my separation from earth so that I could go to hell real quickly and burn forever. What love! The viciousness illustrates perfectly why Christianity has lost its brand, its message, its identity to judgmental condemnation monsters like these. In a recent survey, 66% of young people indicated that they had recently stopped attending church. Now, most of them, 99 to 92%, somewhere in that zone, still identified as believing in God, as believing in Jesus, as being spiritual, but they're not religious and they certainly aren't church-going. And of that 66%, 72% indicated that their reasons for quitting church were mostly determined by disagreements with most or nearly all church organizations on social matters, like the official church stance of many denominations on the acceptance or rejection of LGBTQ+ persons. And their reasons were an opposition to judgmental and hypocritical words and deeds. Just as an aside, does the Global Methodist Church really think that splitting off from the United Methodist Church to form a denomination based almost entirely upon excluding a certain group of people is going to fly very well with young people today? Shake your heads no. They actually believe it, but it's not going to work, friends. Not if these kinds of numbers reflect the reality of young people today, which is open and accepted and affirming of others, as though of those whom Jesus Christ died just as much as for us. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. Those are the big, my friend, those are from the Big Ten, okay? And any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This radical statement, so out of line from current normal preaching among so many Christians today, somehow so remarkable that it draws heavy fire and condemnation, isn't even from Jesus. Well, not directly. It contains a Jesus quote, but it comes from Paul, the Apostle Paul, which goes to show that the central theme of Jesus' ministry was not condemnation, was not judgment, was not exclusion, was not punishment, but an expression proclaiming love, living and exemplifying God's love for and to and with all. If anything, Jesus' harsh words were for religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Essenes, the religious leaders, the temple authorities of the day, those who ran the synagogues of the day, those who ran the then churches, for their hypocrisy. Jesus said of them, they were like whitewashed tombs, all pretty on the outside, but full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness inside. Wow. If anything, Jesus' harsh words were for religious leaders, hypocrites, judgmental monsters. Where is his words for everybody else? His words for the common fisher people and the farmers, the day laborers, the servants, the common people of the day. His words for them were loving and accepting and affirming and welcoming and forgiving, expressing God's love for them. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What does it mean to fulfill? There are lots and lots of people who want to say, well, yes, but. Are there any buts contained in this statement? It's always the buts that causes trouble. Jesus loves you, but. Love your neighbor, but. Forgive one another, but. The buts come out of the woodwork to manipulate and control. And over the last several years, they come out of the woodwork to disaffiliate from churches, but that's another topic. What does it mean to fulfill the law? The Greek word is pleroma. And pleroma means fullness, completeness, overfilled to the point of overflowing. Pleroma means satisfied, brought to fruition, totally finished, completely done. with no buts, no hems and haws, no exceptions. It's totally done. In other words, love completes. Love fills up. Love brings to total reality. Love brings to fruition the law. Nothing more is needed because it is already full. It's already completed. It's already accomplished. It's already satisfied. Love, not works, not adherence to a certain cultural condition, behaviors that other people think are important. Doesn't matter how you dress, how one identifies one's gender, or the sex of the person you love. No. Love, agape, considering the needs of the other as being more important than or essential to your own needs, love fulfills, completes, brings to fruition the law. The church, and this is sadly the case across most of Christianity, the church, Christians, we do an awful job of communicating this message. Many refuse to say the words. They demand conformity to rules and regulations. Others say the right words. Talk about love and acceptance, but demand conformity once you're in. If you're really going to be a Christian, then you're going to do this and not do this and do this other and not do this other. Still others say the right words and mean them, but then become weary in well-doing. Then become weary in struggling against the prevailing words and actions of those sister, brother, and sibling Christians who think it's important to beat on the law and beat on people doing it. Well, my friends, grace never wavers. God's grace never wavers in loving a neighbor, in fulfilling the law, in being an expression of God's love for others. Grace never wavers. May Grace United Methodist Church never waver in giving grace, in giving acceptance, in giving love to and for and with all. May we never waver in fulfilling the law by loving our neighbor as ourself. For love is the fulfilling of the law. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. In your prayer.